everybody. Welcome back to the Spartans, Wolverines, and Beards podcast. You've got me, Lane. You've got Jordan.
Hello again.
And we are bringing you another episode. The stockings are hung above the mantles. Christmas season is upon us. Christmas is next week. Sports, kind of some sports are winding down. We're starting to see a little bit of some conferences go without a whimper into the night with COVID. We're seeing college basketball ramp up. Kind of an exciting time, kind of a boring time. Depends what kind of a fan you are. So we just want to thank you guys again for tuning into us this week. If you have not yet, make sure you follow us on Facebook, Twitter. I got the Instagram back up and running. Make sure you give us a like, follow, shout out, shares, all what you can do. Would be greatly appreciated. Make sure you also, and on whatever streaming device or app or whatever you're listening to us on, give us a like, follow us, share us, just one person. Tell one person about us. It makes a difference.
That's the biggest thing, in my opinion. Get that word of mouth. Say something to a friend.
Exactly. Tell a friend. I also wanted to say thank you to the Watershed Voice for allowing us to partner with them for one another week. We haven't scared them away yet, so that is a positive thing. Like we have talked about in the past, Watershed Voice, very affordable options for anything and all things St. Joe County, Michigan, news-related, politics, arts, opinions, just local news stories. It's a really good source, and it's something that Jordan and I are both very adamant about and very much believe in. So if you haven't yet, please give them a look. It would be greatly appreciated. So that
couldn't have said it better myself.
See, I've got that little bit of a salesman past in me, and I can sell it. I can push the metal. So with that, I'm going to preview the show a little bit. We're going to talk some breaking news today for the Lions. No, nobody else was fired, but some familiar names were hired today. We're going to talk some college basketball. Not a whole lot going on there, but we're getting ready to get into some conference play. We're going to recap the MSU Penn State shootout, disappointing loss for Sparty again. Jordan's got some pretty good and hearty takes on the current Big Ten crossover situation and the games that have been scheduled, and now there's been some games that have been canceled. We're going to update the pick'em ratings. Spoiler alert, Jordan has taken a commanding lead.
Domination.
And then we're going to talk a little more Lions, talk about their 31-24 loss to Green Bay, and a question to kind of to simmer on every Lions fan's mind right now was this last Sunday the last time we ever see Matthew Stafford in a Detroit Lions jersey? We've got some thoughts on that, which we'll be more than happy to discuss. So with that, I think I'm going to stay with the Lions here. I'm going to talk the news. So like I alluded to, the big news today was that Lions have hired both Chris Spielman and Barry Sanders as special assistants to the president, Rod Wood, of the Lions. They're going to be part of the GM coach search. They're also going to just help out with the organization. I think that was something that we talked about a couple weeks ago. Matt Patricia was let go. I kind of wanted Chris Spielman to be a GM candidate. Spielman came out today and said, you know, it wouldn't have been fair to be a GM because he just doesn't have the experience. But to me, this shows to me that Sheila Ford Hamp, like I said before, is very much ready to bring and usher in change. And what better way to do that than bring back Chris Spielman, who is one hell of a Lions linebacker, and more than anything, the GOAT, Barry Sanders, who understands the franchise, understands the frustrations of the franchise, and understands the city and the fan base. So as a Lions fan tonight, I couldn't be happier with this choice. I think it's great, and hopefully this will usher in some very much needed change for this franchise.
Yeah, if nothing else, it's name recognition, you know? It helps build the brand a little bit. It helps maybe makes the fans feel a little bit at ease.
Oh yeah, I feel better about it. I mean, I think if you're not familiar with who Chris Spielman is, he's been a Fox commentator for the past few years. Calls a lot of Lions games. He's also an Ohio State great. Boo. which is interesting. He does have general manager bloodlines. His brother is actually the GM for the Vikings. So I think this is a great hire. And I think if this is somebody that you would potentially want as a GM, I think this is a great stepping stone for him.
Sure. Yeah. It's a good start. It's a way to get your foot.
Exactly. And I mean, and what better way also to bring in a great, who is kind of turned off by the Ford family, turned off by coaching, than Barry Sanders to come in and also say, hey, this is what you don't do. And this is what you don't do to Calvin Johnson or Matt Stafford. This is what you need to do going forward. So I love it. As a Lions fan, Sheila Ford Hamp is already knocking it out of the park. So
she's definitely appearing more competent than what previous ownership has done.
Yeah, we'll see. She's already said that she wants to take as much time as she needs to hire a coach, which to me, that tells me she's going to vet them and she's going to do the proper thing instead of the Patriot way. So anything's better than that, right?
So do you think you get a GM first then?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the first step is your GM. I can't remember his name. They're interviewing. Is it Rick Smith? I can't remember. Don't quote me on it, but he was the former GM for the Texans. Very much good with identifying talent, brought in J.J. Watt, DeAndre Hopkins, Deshaun Watson. So, I mean, if we can get some people have an eye for talent and that know how to rebuild programs, hey, let's do it, man. I'm ready to roll.
Right, yeah, for sure.
So do you have any other thoughts on that, Jordan, or do you want to talk some college basketball?
No, I think we give that a chance, let that simmer, find out what exactly happens. But
I like it.
So, yeah, we can jump right into college basketball here. There's not a whole lot to touch on with Michigan State here since we last recorded, but I can give you the rough breakdown since then. So we would have been looking at Michigan State. So we last recorded what would have been the seventh,
yeah, so they
right?
last played against West. They've had one game since then.
Okay. Yep. So they played Western, beat Western. So the only game Michigan State has is a game against Oakland, which if you remember, that's the same Oakland team that took Michigan to overtime. Watched a little bit of this game. Oakland had a dude get nasty hot from three. I think he knocked down 8 threes in the game, and that is indicative of the score. Michigan State wins 109-91. I think if you go back in the history of Michigan State basketball, at least while Tom Izzo's there, you could probably count the number of games where they allowed 90 points and won on one hand, because I think this might be the only time that's ever happened. Disappointing, I would think, would be the word. You don't want to ever see a team like Oakland score 91 points on you. But, you know, it's the product of basketball today, high-scoring games, and it just Michigan State was able to at least pull away in the second half because they were only up like 4 at halftime. I mean, it was a game at the half. So Big Ten play really picks up for them pretty quick. Coming up, they got Northwestern Sunday, and then the following Friday on Christmas Day, they have Wisconsin. So that'll be a really big test for the Spartans there. But otherwise, Sunday, Northwestern, be an interesting game. Northwestern team that's still pretty down, all things considered, but does have some athletes. So we'll see if Michigan State buries Northwestern or if they still show a little bit of the lackadaisicalness that they've shown here the last few games. Michigan, a little different story. So we didn't get to touch on the Toledo game because we recorded before that. They pretty much handled that game, win 91-71, 20-point win that was – they were up by 30 a large portion of the second half, and then the junk minutes, Toledo kind of came back. So not a whole lot to report there. It was good to see Michigan get out to a fast start and really take control of that game from the jump. And then Sunday, they actually started Big Ten play at home against Penn State. Penn State's a team that's picked in the bottom half of the conference, but you wouldn't know it by the way they started this year. They lost their coach beginning of the year. Pat Chambers resigned due to some scandal stuff with player abuse, and it was a nasty situation. He stepped down like right before the season, so they're in an interim coach spot. But then they go in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, and they beat number 15 Virginia Tech by 20 at Virginia Tech. So this Penn State team come in hot, riding high, and Michigan got up like 15 in the first half, came out of the gates hot, knocking down everything, playing really, really good defense. And then out of the half, Penn State kind of reversed those roles. They ratcheted up their defensive pressure, and they forced Michigan into turnovers, which has been the Achilles heel of this Michigan team this year, is turning the ball over and kind of sloppy play there. But the reassuring part there was Michigan down the stretch had five straight defensive stops the last five possessions of the game to seal a 62-58 win. Really a classic Big Ten game. Two teams just beating the hell out of each other the whole time. Penn State really gets in your kitchen when they're playing defense. I mean, they got a couple guys that Wheeler kid can really guard, and he'll guard you the whole length of the floor. The big story for Michigan here is Hunter Dickinson, the true freshman. Second time Big Ten freshman of the week. And he's really showing maturity for a true freshman and looks to be a good calming force in the middle for that Michigan Michigan offense. So they are off actually until Christmas Day, which is crazy. They don't play this week. So the next Friday is their first game against Nebraska on the road. And then they turn around 6 days later and go to Maryland. So schedule actually plays in Michigan's favor to start. I mean, they're 6-0, and their first, 6 Big Ten games are against the bottom five teams from the preseason part of the conference. So really a good slow start into the season for this Wolverines team. You got to hope that they can keep growing and getting a little bit more efficient with not turning the ball over, because that's the biggest concern for me.
Well, and you mentioned the schedule. Granted, it's conference play, so it's always a little tougher. But you look at the matchups here, and there's some good games here for them to get right pretty quick.
Yeah, like I said, it's the bottom half of the conference for their first six conference games, but the back half of their schedule is a gauntlet. I think their last eight games are all
Matchups here.
Well, you got Murray or Stanley, one of them.
About that, guys.
Life of a basset hound parent there. So I think with that, that probably is enough for college basketball.
Right now. Nah, man, I'm good. I'm going to go scold a couple dogs, so we'll be right back.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Lane has wrangled the dogs. Life is good in the dual household now. His blood pressure may be slightly higher, but that's what dogs are for, right?
Amen, brother.
And if anybody that has basset hounds knows, that bark is loud. Dogs ain't that big, but boy, can they bark. So,
and it's random.
So, all right, let's get into some college football. Lane's going to kind of run down the Michigan State Penn State game that was. Obviously, Michigan and Ohio State was canceled for COVID. And we'll touch on some more of that stuff here before we get into the pick 'em. But yeah, Lane, I guess why don't you go ahead, give us your thoughts on the Michigan State loss, but kind of a scrappy loss, I would say.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the biggest flop from this past weekend would have been obviously special team play. So State lost 39-24. And as a football fan knows, games are mostly won by special teams, and they of course lost this game. I mean, you can't give up. I got it right here. 183 total yards in special teams units between five kickoffs and two punt returns. So that's, I mean, you're not going to do well when you're giving away that good a field position anyways. And most of it really happened in the second half even. Penn State came out, they made adjustments, and Michigan State didn't. I don't know if that's a testament to Mel Tucker still and his staff still trying to figure it all out, or if it's just because James Franklin right now is just the better coach and he's more senior coach and more familiar with these situations. I am just going to say I am growing really fond of Peyton Thorne, a redshirt freshman quarterback. Threw for 325 yards, and he's shown how good he can be. He hit 11 passes in a row, and ended up hitting the 12th in the third quarter. He showed a lot of potential, and he also shown what a little more of an athletic quarterback could do in this Michigan State offense.
Mm-hmm.
Which to me is like, if I were going to be a coach, I would want kind of a quarterback like a Peyton Thorne, in an offense similar to what Mel Tucker is trying to install. The athleticism, the options, the play action, I mean, that really opens up with an athletic quarterback, and it's something we really haven't seen too much of in East Lansing for some time. Jordan Simmons looked very good. He rushed for a career high 72 yards, 5.1 yards per carry, which if you've been following Michigan State like Jordan and I have, 72 yards on paper doesn't look like much. But when you look at how our rushing attack has been this year, that's a huge step in the right direction. And then also you kind of see this carousel of Michigan State receivers and athletic receivers showing up. Trayvon Morgan, looked very good this weekend. 6'7", 230 pounds. So this dude is a tank of a human being. And if we can continue to get him more involved in the offense and you have that jump ball threat like him and you can have Peyton Thorne hit him on some good passes, it's going to be scary coming for the next few years. But like I alluded to, defensively, we kind of blew it in the second half, but when Penn State kind of predominantly has the ball the entire second half, you're going to gas the defense. Special teams unit was gassed. And it just ended up being Penn State's athletes just carried it out for them. As we talked about in the very first preview, I mean, we didn't know what to expect with this Michigan State team this season. And they're about right on par to what I thought they would be. They're not the greatest. I mean, by no stretch, shape or form are they the greatest team in the Big Ten, but they have shown promise and they have shown what a Mel Tucker led team will look like. That being said, I am looking forward to this weekend's game, because I think we're playing a very similar team in Maryland, who's when they're up, they're riding high, and when they're down, they're down. So it's going to be an interesting matchup, but I am ready to kind of push forward with this youth movement in East Lansing, and let's ride this wave and see where it takes us.
Yeah, I didn't get a whole lot of eyes on the game itself. I did see some highlights, and I just in passing saw some of it. The one thing that I really did focus on was Thorne, and the one thing I would say is I like the fact that he seemed confident. Mm-hmm. The moment didn't feel too big for him. I mean, he did force a ball into, I mean, they said double coverage, but if you look at it, it was actually triple coverage. But sure, the receiver made a really good play on the ball. So, I mean, sometimes you got to have the nuts to say my guy's better than yours. And maybe you don't like him throwing into triple coverage, but just the willingness to step in and make that throw is something you didn't see a whole lot of from Rocky Lombardi. He always seemed to take the conservative route and the I don't want to make a mistake route, or it's way too late, shit, throw it up route.
Yeah.
So I was pretty impressed with what I saw from him. And I agree with you. The youth that they've kind of started to roll out, you expect that with a new coach. Eventually, you know, you've seen some transfers come out. That stuff always happens. And it's going to be, okay, do you fit what I want to do or not? And it's time to start seeing what those guys do. So,
yep. Yeah, I'm excited, man. I think I was talking to Kendra about it because my best thoughts are always when I'm watching the game and never when I record. But I was sitting on the couch talking to Kendra, and it's like I said to him, I said, this is the exact situation if you're a Spartan fan, you have to get excited about.
Right.
Because this first year, yeah, you're gonna be a sub 500 team. Next year, if you can reach 500 or be a little bit above that, great. But by year three, when these guys are juniors and seniors, you hope that you're looking at maybe a 1-2 loss season and you're rolling again. So I think this is an ideal situation that Mel Tucker has, and I'm very excited to see where this goes.
Yeah. One note on the transfer thing. I did see that Julian Barnett is transferring. Those of you that listened to our preview podcast, that was a name that I hyped up a lot in the preseason. I thought he was poised to have a big season, but I don't know that we've seen him on the field hardly at all.
So we haven't seen him much, and I don't know what's going on
with him. Given that he's transferring, it almost feels like it's just different mindsets. It'll be interesting to see where he lands. He's a Belleville kid, and it was really down to Michigan State in that recruitment for him. And the Wolverines, if anybody haven't noticed, really need some help at corner. So might be somebody that Michigan reintroduces himself to in the transfer portal here, if that's something he's willing to entertain. And wouldn't that just be a salt in the wound thing to have for him to do that? And if he's got some ill taste towards Mel Tucker, that's a move to do.
That makes me sick to my stomach.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, the transfer portal is going to be absolutely wild this year because, you know, they're talking that the one-time waiver is supposed to be approved in January, where basically it's free agency in college football. You can transfer one time, no rule, nothing against it. Like anybody can go anywhere one time. And so there's already like double the amount of kids in the portal that there normally is. And it's just like the transfer portal is going to be wild this year.
Yeah, very much so. It's gonna be like NFL free agency. Everybody's going to be moving.
Yep, couldn't have said that better either. That's about exactly right. So I think, do you got anything else you want to hit on there? Should we roll into this monstrosity of champions, quote-unquote champions week?
You know, let's talk about champions week, because you've got some demons at exercise tonight.
Yeah, I'm pretty – this whole thing just pisses me off. Let's just be blunt about it. So let's recap the pick'em real quick, because we are going to do the pick'ems on these games, and then we'll talk on it a little bit and do our picks after we discuss it. So total on the year – I am now 31-15. Lane sits at 24-22. Another big week for me, going 4-1 and then two cancellations. Lane goes 2-3 with two cancellations. So
these cancellations are killing me, man.
Yeah. So, and on that note, we do have two more games canceled this week. So let's run down the games real quick, talk about how stupid it is, and then we'll do our picks. Does that sound good to you?
Worked for me, man.
So the two canceled games that we have, Michigan and Iowa, have already been canceled. Ward Manuel came out and said Michigan would have 50 players due to positive tests, contact tracing, and Big Ten rules that couldn't play. So good, bad, indifferent, whatever your thoughts are on it, that game's canceled. And then the game that caused all of this stir, Indiana and Purdue, has also been canceled due to they're both teams are mutually not playing because of COVID. So let's rewind here and go all the way back to the beginning of the year. And the Big Ten came out with this Champions Week idea. And I think we were both on here saying what a great idea we thought this was. Well, it was supposed to be, obviously, 1-1 for the conference title. And then 2-2, 3-3, 4-4, down the line. We're like, oh, what a cool idea. I kind of like it, you know, really stack out the conference. And they threw in a caveat that the games could be altered so that there wasn't rematches, stuff like that. Well, then the schedule comes out. And it's not even close to what they told us it was going to be. It was almost completely the freaking opposite of what they said it was going to be. So Michigan somehow is supposed to play Iowa. Michigan is second to last in the East, and Iowa is second in the West. You have Michigan State and Maryland playing, who are in the same division. You have Minnesota, Wisconsin playing, who are in the same division. And all of this happened because, as I alluded to, the Big Ten wanted to save the super important rivalry game of the old oaken bucket of Indiana and Purdue. Let me pause for the dramatic effect. The rivalry game of Indiana and Purdue was so important that you ruined the entire weekend of games for this. Mm-hmm. When you could have had Iowa and Indiana. Now, would that game get played with COVID stuff? Who knows? But that game on the schedule is a whole lot sexier than Iowa blowing out Michigan. You could have had a Maryland versus Wisconsin game, or a Maryland versus a Minnesota game. Well, they already played Maryland, Wisconsin then. So there you go. That's a better game. You could have had Michigan State versus Nebraska. I mean, it was just an utter pissing of the pants by the Big Ten yet again. This entire football season, they have done nothing but show that they are completely incapable of handling difficult situations. Kevin Warren, in his first year as commissioner, looks horrible. This season was handled horribly. Yes, it's a COVID year. Nothing was ever going to be good. But if you go look at the Big 12, the SEC, and the ACC, who said, you know what, we're going to push on, we're going to play our season, but we're going to give ourselves these windows to potentially, because we know that COVID's going to happen. And look what happened. The majority of those teams got 8, 9, 10 games in. The Big Ten is struggling to get their best team in the conference 6 games because of how stupid they went about this. I'm sorry, but the entire office of the Big Ten should just resign because they're stupid. It was horrible, horribly managed. Nothing about it made any sense. And then this whole Champions Week thing just put a little bit more icing on the cake for how dumb they all look.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. And to me, I think more than anything, there's two things that are abundantly clear to me about this entire Big Ten season. Number one, had to protect the cash cow, that is Ohio State.
Yep.
We, beginning of season, said, you know, you had a threshold you had to meet to make a conference title game, and then it looked like Ohio State wasn't going to make the conference title game because of the Michigan game. So then they said, well, if that doesn't happen, then they're probably not going to make the national semifinals. So we're going to make them play. We're going to amend the rules a little bit so then they can play. So then that leads into my second point, and it all came down to money.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's pathetic. We've talked about it this past season last year. We talked about when the button hot topic came up about paying college players. You look at the situation, and this is 110% about money. You had to get Ohio State into a Big Ten conference title game. So now you got them playing Northwestern, which they're probably going to steamroll. So then they can have a shot at making the friggin' playoff. And they're honestly going to be healthier than the teams that are going to be in the playoff. And they're going to have an opportunity now to advance and draw more money for the school and the Big Ten. It's disgusting. It's disappointing. And like, I agree with you at this point, leadership, they should all be flushed. These turds need to go.
It's hilarious too, because the whole reason that the Big Ten came out and said they postponed the season was because, you know, player safety, and the medical experts said they just didn't feel comfortable playing. And, you know, we're doing all of this for player safety. And then as soon as it looks like their idea and their plan, which they already said Ohio State have gold with an easy ass schedule to go undefeated. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh man, all of our plans are foiled. And like you said, oh, well, we've got to have this money. We got to have them in the playoff. So what are we going to do? Let's change the rules to get them in. This is not coming from a bitter Michigan fan, because we would have got boat raced by 40. I understand that. I fully came to grips with that. This is about setting a precedent. So now all Kevin Warren has done is shown that he can be pushed around. He has shown that he has no backbone in difficult situations. What he should have done is stepped up to Ohio State and said, hey, this is the rules. Sorry about your luck.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on. Indiana, Northwestern, you guys are playing. But instead, he cowered down. Jim Delaney has got to be sitting somewhere just laughing his ass off at all this. Because I guarantee you, for all his flaws, that dude would have never let something like this happen.
No.
I mean, it's comical. I'm over it. It's stupid. I'm kind of – I never thought I'd say this, but I'm kind of glad the football season's coming to an end.
Yeah, I would agree. This has just felt like a season I can't get too invested in, and it's sad.
Yep. So I guess okay. Let's get into pick 'em. What do you think?
Yeah, let's roll, man.
All right. So I don't have all the times written down. I guess maybe you can throw the times in, but I think I have them in order. So Nebraska at Rutgers, I believe, is the first game on our docket. Is that correct?
Yes, 7:30 p.m. on Friday.
Okay, so Nebraska at Rutgers. I have zero faith in Scott Frost. I think Greg Schiano has a case for Big Ten Coach of the Year at Rutgers. Give me the Scarlet Knights.
Yep, I'm with you. Scarlet Knights roll.
Let's skip that game. Well, we'll skip the Ohio State game. Is that what you have next?
Yeah, yep, that's the noon game. Yep.
Okay, we'll skip that, come back to it. Minnesota at Wisconsin. Really a tale of two teams. Minnesota comes out, start the year kind of flat, not really looking very impressive. Wisconsin looked like juggernauts and then kind of fell on their face after the Michigan game. So, I mean, where are you at with this?
You know, and I, honestly, I don't know with these two teams because it's they're so wishy-washy in what you're going to get. I'm going to go Minnesota.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm going Wisconsin. The only reason I think I am is because Minnesota has already, you know, Bateman's already opted back out, and they just – I don't think that they have as much program stability built in as what Wisconsin does. I think Wisconsin will be able to just show up and kind of enforce themselves.
I can see that.
So – next game, Illinois at Penn State. So Illinois, the Lovey Smithless Illini, who are now in a coaching search of their own, and have to take on the Penn State Nittany Lions, who have rambled off a couple wins in a row here and seem to look a little bit more competent in doing so. So I'll take the Nittany Lions, but this is a game I could see Illinois. You know, you like the Lions last week. You kind of see that post-coach firing kind of up. Players get up for the next game just to kind of, you know, show allegiance or whatever. So don't be surprised if Illinois comes in and takes this one.
I like
that. But I'll take Penn State. Watch the line.
See, I like that. I'm also going to go Penn State, though.
Okay. And then Michigan State at Maryland. Interesting game here. You have very clashing styles. Maryland doesn't play a whole lot of defense. Michigan State really is more defensive. What do you think? What's your thoughts on it?
Oh, man. It depends so much on what team shows up. You know what I mean?
It's been Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde all year.
Very much, Ben. I mean, if you can tighten up the special teams and you can kind of tighten up defensively, you could see a very good-looking Michigan State team. Speaking of which I didn't talk about last segment, Shakir Brown did announce that he is leaving and entering the NFL draft. I'm going to go Michigan State. I've rolled with them, and if I'm going to die with them. Bad boys for life.
I'm going to take Maryland. I don't really know why. I trust in games like this, I'm going to take a player that the team with the best player, and I think Talia might be that guy. So I think I could even be wrong about that. I don't know. But I'm going to take Maryland, and I don't really know why.
Yeah, I like it.
So then the Big Ten championship game, we didn't really need to save it for last. I don't think it really matters. Ohio State's favored by like 21.5 or something like that. The big question will be is just can Northwestern's defense, which is very good, slow down Ohio State enough? And I don't think they can. I think the Buckeyes are going to roll here again.
Yeah, I agree. I think it would be some poetic justice, though, if Northwestern.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I am fully a Wildcat.
Oh, absolutely. And they come in and they play the anti-hero this week and yep. Thus destroy the Big Ten season and thus saving all us other fans from watching Ohio State get a Big Ten title handed on a golden platter. But
I am firmly a fighting Reese Davis this week.
Fighting Reese Davis. I love it.
Did you hear that whole thing that Galloway did? So Joey Galloway, before the Wisconsin game, maybe, he called Northwestern a team full of a bunch of Reese Davises.
Oh, okay.
And then after they won the game, Pat Fitzgerald, like, dropped it in the post game, like, oh, but I'd love to go to fight with these fighting Reese Davises any day of the week.
That's
whatever.
Awesome.
It was pretty funny. So.
Yeah, I'm still going Ohio State, but I really want to see Northwestern blow this entire thing up.
Go Wildcats. So there we got two games different. Lane really needs a couple wins here to try to help claw his way back in. It's looks
a little bleak.
I'm looking mighty bleak right now. So you think? I think with that, we probably can close down college football.
Yeah, we can. I'm ready to roll.
Okay, we'll shut this down, take a little break, and we will come back and discuss a disappointing Lions loss. Alrighty, everybody, we are back for our final segment of the year. Yes, you heard that right. Stay tuned. We'll have some more details later. But Lane is going to recap the Lions 31-24 loss to the Green Bay Packers in a game that I said to my wife, I don't know why I'm so vested in this right now. I haven't been this vested in a Lions game in years, but I found myself watching it, and I'm kind of on the edge of my seat watching it. It was surprising. So, Lane, I guess, what do you got for us?
Well, I know why you're invested in it, and we all know why you're invested in it, because we want to see what the hell this team looks like post-Matt Patricia. And yet again, this team honestly did not disappoint, and it was a fun game to watch, dare I say it. Granted, I mean, they lost, which is the staple of this franchise, dropping us 5-8 after a 31-24 loss to the Aaron Rodgers-led Packers, which I can say again, good God, Aaron Rodgers is good.
Except for when I draft him in fantasy as a shit year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way it always works for me, too. He always gets
He did that last year. He had a terrible year last year when I drafted him in fantasy.
Yeah, now you could argue he's the MVP front runner this year. I know. But, you know, whenever the Lions play the Packers, for the most part, you always get the best out of this Lions team. And you didn't see anything different this weekend. Keep in mind, the Lions are extremely banged up. No Kenny Galladay. DeAndre Swift finally played for the first time. Tyrell Crosby, starting right tackle, was out. So, I mean, and defensively, we're absolutely gutted from injuries. And you look at the game, and it wasn't as bad as it could have been. Considering week two, we got absolutely bludgeoned by Green Bay at Lambeau. Coming out of this loss, any loss isn't a good loss, but you have to feel at least a little good about this one. I think the most alarming thing to me was seeing Matt Stafford's rib injury he took. That was ugly. It came out today. There's no bone damage, but it is tendon damage or cartilage damage. So whether or not he plays this weekend, it might be the Chase Daniels show, which, don't get me wrong, Chase Daniels is not Matt Stafford or even in the same ballpark as him. But this is why you sign an experienced quarterback like Chase Daniels for this situation. I pray that this isn't the last time that we ever see Matt. This past Sunday was the last time we ever see Matt Stafford in a Lions jersey. To me, he sacrificed it all. And I mean, if the Lions are going to deal him, please give him to a team that has potential to win, because he deserves it. But I don't think this is going to be the last you see him. I think you're going to get a head coach that's going to come in and say, hey, we've already got the players here offensively. We don't need to gut this. And I think you see Stafford come back next year, hopefully with, in all honesty, I want to see Daryl Bevell back as offensive coordinator, because it's become apparent to me, and I think a lot of Lions fandom, that Matt Patricia was the hammer to this team. It's not pretty. I mean, we're 5-8, which we still actually somehow have a playoff hope. It's very slim, considering we play Tennessee this weekend. And Derrick Henry, hi, Murray. Hi, Stanley. Thanks for making an appearance. Derrick Henry absolutely is a hammer of a player, probably the best running back in the league. And he went off for 215 yards against Jacksonville this. And as we know, Lions run defense is extremely porous. So what are you talking about? Man, my dog is really wanting to make an appearance.
Somebody's unhappy.
Yeah,
right now.
He's pissed. But I don't expect the Lions to win this weekend. But, you know, if they can play tough, the Tennessee's defense is not as great as they used to be. If you have a healthy Stafford, which Stafford said he wants to play, I think you have a shot.
Then you absolutely sit him, because if he's going to play, if he's your quarterback going forward, there's absolutely no reason to play him.
No, there's no reason to play him at this point. And there's no reason to bring Kenny Galladay back this season. There's no logical sense to do any of it. Right. But if he's a competitor and he's a baller, so he's going to do what he needs to do to help lead this team. If I were him, rest up, get healthy. I hate saying it, but hey, there's next year. So, I guess I'm not overly optimistic, but I don't know. I think going forward, Stafford has to stay a Lion, at least for the next year or two. Because, I mean, you see guys like Aaron Rodgers, even Tom Brady, Drew Brees, you're seeing these older quarterbacks, even Phillip Rivers, that are still succeeding and doing well in the NFL. They just need the right system around them. And I think you're seeing those glimpses of Daryl Bevel letting Matt Stafford be Matt Stafford. And I think that's why Bevel needs to stay the OC next year. Whoever we get as head coach, he needs to stay on, because he has that rapport with his offense, and you can clearly see it in the gameplay.
I just don't know how I feel about that. No? I just feel like if you're going to make a head coaching change, it might as well be the guy that he wants.
You see, that's fair, and that totally makes sense. And this very well could be a situation where you keep Stafford on, but you say, hey, look, we got certain expectations to meet next year with Stafford. You don't meet them, you're gone. And that very well could be what happens. I mean, that's kind of my thought. I think if instead of starting fresh again with an offensive coordinator for God knows how many times for Stafford, I think it's like the fourth or fifth, just let it ride out and let's see what happens. But like I said, anything can happen. We could, come to 3 weeks from now, playoffs, and we have our head coach figured out and we're ready to roll. So,
right.
I don't know. It just feels this Lions team felt different. It looked like they're actually having fun again.
Yeah, I would definitely say the energy in those games looks a whole lot better than it has. That's without a doubt.
Yeah, very much so. But, I mean, looking forward to Tennessee, I think the key to beating the rest of the schedule, there's each team we're playing. You've got Tennessee this weekend, so you've got Derrick Henry. Following weekend, you got Tom Brady and the Bucs. And then you close with the Vikings. And there's three big names on each one of these teams. And I think the key, which is very simple, but it's a key, is keeping them off the field. If you can keep Derrick Henry off the field, if you can keep Tom Brady off the field, and if you can keep Dalvin Cook off the field, you have a shot to win. And that's what the Lions did this past weekend, is they kept Aaron Rodgers off the field. But it's just unfortunate when Aaron Rodgers is on the field and he throws his first pass is Davante Adams, and it's a 75-yard bomb. So, I mean,
right.
I think that's the key to it. Whether or not that happens, we'll see. But if I were Corey Unlin, I would that would be my goal. Keep him off the field. Offense, just take the air out of the ball, give to Swift, give it to Peterson, and just milk the clock for as much as you can.
Yeah, I think it's time to definitely start losing to help your draft stock.
Yeah, and they're sitting 11 right now, so
three more losses really gets you close to that top five range.
Oh, I hate saying it, but yeah, there's some very good talent in this draft this year. Very good talent.
Okay, you got anything else with the Lions, or should we go ahead and shut this thing down?
No, let's shut it down, man.
Okay, so like I prefaced a little bit ago, we are going to take a couple weeks off here for the Christmas and New Year's holiday. So we will be back January 6th, 2021. Yes, 2021 is officially here. By 2020. We need your ass gone.
Get out.
Yeah, it's time to go. So yeah, we'll be back for that. Special little note here. There will be an NBA preview special with Lane and a special guest. Are we going to tell them the special guest, or do you want them to come and find out?
No, let's come and find out. I've already talked to my special guest, and I've got everything lined up. We're going to record Monday, NBA tip-offs on Tuesday, so I want to have that up and edited, ready to go for your guys' enjoyment. We're going to kind of preview the Pistons. We're going to talk a little kind of estimates on who we think's MVP candidates, Rookie of the Year candidates, and then we're going to lay out what we think the playoffs are going to look like, and we're going to go from there. The person I've asked to come on is pretty knowledgeable in the NBA, and Jordan and I both respect his sports opinion, so this should be fun.
Yep, and then obviously by the time you hear this, it will be the early signing day for football. If everything gets done with Michigan and Michigan State the way it's kind of anticipated, I may jump on and do a quick little recruiting special Friday, Saturday-ish after the early signing period finishes. We'll see. Anybody that follows recruiting knows that between right now at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night and 6 a.m. tomorrow morning when the things can start coming in, shit's going to get wild.
Yeah, it's going to get nuts.
So we'll see if everything holds the chalk or anything major happens. I may jump on and do a little special on my own, run a solo one, but we will see what happens with everything tomorrow. But otherwise, I think we can say thank you again to everybody for listening. Please get on our social medias, give us some comments, likes, shares, follows, everything, whatever platform you are listening to us on. Please subscribe. Give us a rating, a review, share it with your friends, tell your neighbor, tell your dog, tell somebody about us. We can get some more exposure. That would be great. And, yeah, thank you again to the Watershed Voice for helping us grow a little bit and branch out. Please look into them for subscriptions for all your local news. What a great holiday gift to somebody is a subscription to the Watershed Voice. That sounds like a great gift to me.
Yeah, I like that.
So again, we're going to take a couple weeks off, so we will not be talking to you guys the next couple weeks, but please have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Lord knows we all need some time and things to just get back to a little bit of normalcy. So hopefully here in these next few weeks, we can start to trend that direction.
Yeah, very much. So really just to echo what Jordan said again, thank you. I hope you all have a very wonderful holiday season with your family. If you're not seeing your family this year, just make sure you tell them you love them. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Go green.
Go blue.